The text that we consider is 1 Thessalonians 1:4 through 6. Instead of reading that chapter again this evening, we're going to read 2 Thessalonians 2. We read 2 Thessalonians 2, especially because of verse 13. Take note of verse 13 when we read that. The Word of God at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto Him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. And especially this verse: But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto He called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now unto our Lord Jesus Christ Himself, and God even our Father, which hath loved us, and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts, and establish you in every good word and work. Thus far we read God's holy word. Now we turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 again. And the section that we consider tonight is verses 4 through 6. Knowing, brethren beloved, your election of God, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, the sign in the front of church says Trinity Protestant Reformed Church. We make it explicit to everyone that drives by our church building that we are a Reformed congregation. And among many other things, that we are Reformed means that we believe the truth of the Word of God as it is set forth clearly in the three forms of unity, those three confessions that we hold to, the canons of Dort, the Belgic Confession, and of course the Heidelberg Catechism. And by virtue of the fact that we are Reformed, that means that we must defend and teach and promote the doctrine of election. Election is taught in God's Word, and therefore it is clearly taught in the confessions that we hold to as a church. And over against all of the attacks and challenges on the doctrine of election, we as a Reformed congregation will continue to teach and defend that doctrine. And there are attacks. There have always been attacks upon this doctrine of God's Word. Because the doctrine of election forces man to say that all of my salvation is rooted in the eternal decree of God. All of my salvation is in God alone, apart from anything we can do here on this earth. Sinful man never wants to acknowledge that. Only one in whom the Spirit works humbly confesses the truth of election. And so we continue to do that. And tonight we do that. And tonight the text that we consider addresses what is more of a subtle attack upon this doctrine of God's Word. It's the attack that goes along this line. Yes, God elected in eternity every one of His children. But you can't know that. And I can't know that. You can't know whether or not you are an elect child of God. And I can't know whether or not God decreed an eternity to save me. The text that we consider answers that objection. And it answers it by saying, yes, the church knows her election. Verses 4 through 6 in the first chapter of Thessalonians carry on the thought of the previous verses. Last week, Sunday night, we learned about how Paul was thankful for the church in Thessalonica. He was thankful for them because he saw in that church those three things that we looked at: the labor of love, the work of faith, and the patience of hope in Jesus Christ. And now in verses 4 through 6, he gives another reason he is thankful for this church. And that reason is this: he knows their election. And if Paul knew the election of those saints in Thessalonica, those saints themselves could know their election, which means that we today can know our election. To the question, are you an elect child of God? The answer is not, I don't know. I'm not sure. I may be, but I may not be. That's not the answer. The answer is yes. Because there are clear signs, clear fruit of our election. Fruit that's worked powerfully through the preaching of the gospel. We can know our election. And we can receive the comfort of that knowledge. To that Word of God we turn our attention to this evening. Knowing our election, in the first place, the meaning, in the second place, the reason, and last, and more briefly, the comfort. Knowing our election, the meaning, the reason, and the comfort. There is in verse 4 one matter of translation that we need to address. And that has to do with the prepositional phrase, of God. As it reads in the King James Version, the of God modifies election. Knowing, brethren beloved, your election of God. That's not quite right in the original Greek. The of God really belongs after beloved. Knowing, brethren beloved, of God, your election. And what that does is emphasize simply the fact and the truth and the doctrine of election. It's true, election is of God. But the emphasis is not on the of God part, but simply on the truth of election. Paul knew the election of the saints in Thessalonica, so we need to understand, first of all, what election is. That word itself means selection or choosing. The same word is used in Acts chapter 9 in the historical account of the conversion of Paul. We read there that Paul was the chosen, same word, chosen vessel to bring the word to the Gentiles. But now in the text, it's not a selection, a choosing unto the work of bringing the word, but it's a selection or choosing unto salvation. To define election, we could do well to say this: election is the decree of God, the eternal decree of God, to save in Jesus Christ His people. That's a brief definition of election. But now we need to break that down and explain the teaching of election. Four things. Number one, election is a decree by God in eternity. That's why we read 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren beloved of the Lord. Exact same ideas, thankfulness for the church. Because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. Election is a decree that takes place even before those saints were born, before we were born, from the beginning. And the beginning, therefore, is a reference to eternity. In eternity, God decreed His people who would be saved. That's confirmed by Ephesians 1, verse 4, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. Paul knew that in eternity, God elected the saints in the church of Thessalonica. In the second place, election is an eternal decree unto salvation. That's also evident from that passage in 2 Thessalonians 2. God hath chosen you to salvation. God did not choose His people unto a plethora of earthly blessings, health, strength, riches, money, and all the things of this earth. The goal, the purpose of election is salvation, forgiveness of sins in Christ, fellowship with God, life with God. And because election is unto salvation, that means that all of the blessings of salvation, regeneration, justification, sanctification, preservation, all of those blessings trace their root and origin to the eternal decree of election. Paul knew that in eternity, God decreed those saints unto salvation. In the third place, election is the eternal decree unto salvation of a definite, limited number of people. God elected by name those who He would save. In Revelation, we read that the names of all of His people are written in the book of life, and a name is what identifies an individual. But it's not a scattered number, haphazardly chosen, but those individuals come together and form the body of Christ. He elects the church, and that's the reference in the text to your election. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election. What's the your? Go back to verse 1. It's the church of Thessalonica. God elects a definite, limited number, a number that make up the church of Jesus Christ. And then in the last place, election is the decree of God in eternity unto salvation in Jesus Christ. That's evident from verse 1 in the first chapter of Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1 verse 4, chosen us in Him, in Christ. Election is in Christ. And that's implied in these first three points that we have made. Election is in eternity. Well, who's first in the eternal decree of God? Christ is. Election is unto salvation. The only way to God the Father and life with God is through Jesus. And election is a definite number. Well, that number of people is exactly those whom Christ laid His life down for. Paul knew in eternity God elected the church of Thessalonica. And that's the point of the text. He knew that. And if Paul knew their election, those saints could know their election. And we can know our election today. And that's vitally important because we're sinners. And the fact that God elects us does not mean that we do not become sinners. We still have sin. We still have that old man. And what our sin does is it causes us not to take to heart the truth of this text and to become lax in remembering this truth. The text addresses doubt. Doubt of salvation. Because everything that is wrapped up in knowing our election means that we can know our salvation. And that's one of the ploys of the devil. The devil works furiously to work doubt in our hearts and in our minds. He comes to us and says, "You're an elect child of God? Look at yourself. Look at your sin. How could you be an elect child of God? How could God in eternity decree you to be one of His children?" And then at the time of one's death, the devil simply ratchets it up and says, "Look at your whole life. Look at all that sin. How could you be a child of God, an elect child of God?" To that we say, "I know. I am an elect child of God. I know God decreed to save me." And this is why there are clear signs. There are clear things that show I am an elect child of God. And that was the case for Paul and the saints in Thessalonica. He saw things in those people that showed they were members of God's church. What did Paul see? What was the fruit of that election? Before we get to that, let's point out that this is the teaching of our confessions. We brought up the confessions at the beginning of the sermon this evening. Well, the canons speak to this very point, the knowledge of our election, a beautiful article in the first head of the Canons of Dort, Article 12. It's worth reading tonight. "The elect in due time, though in various degrees and in different measures, attain the assurance of this their eternal and unchangeable election, not by inquisitively prying into the secret and deep things of God, but by observing in themselves, with a spiritual joy and holy pleasure, the infallible fruits of election pointed out in the Word of God, such as true faith in Christ, filial fear, a godly sorrow for sin, a hungering and thirsting after righteousness." The Word of God teaches, the confessions teach, that we can know our election. And we can know that by the fruit of election. And that's what Paul saw in the saints in Thessalonica. And that's verse 6. of chapter 1. This was the fruit, the sign of their election. They became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. Literally, that word followers means imitators. An imitator is one that does the same thing and says the same thing as another. Those saints were imitators, followers of the missionaries, Paul, Silas, and Timothy, and of the Lord. They followed Paul in this respect. They imitated Paul in this respect. They loved Jesus Christ. And they put their faith and their trust in Jesus Christ. That's what Paul and Silas and Timothy did. And that's what those saints did as well. And that's what we read in the canons as the main sign or fruit of election. And then they were followers or imitators of the Lord as well. And no one has loved God the Father more than the Lord Jesus Christ. And in that respect, they imitated the Lord Jesus Christ. They loved God. They loved Jehovah God. And those two go together. Faith in Christ, trust in Christ, and love for God. That's the clear sign of one's election. And that was confirmed to the Apostle Paul. Because not only did they become followers of them and of the Lord, but we read at the end of verse 6 that they received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, with joy worked by the Holy Ghost. We read in Acts that the word came to these people in much affliction. They were persecuted heavily when they received the word. But an elect child of God receives that word in affliction with joy. He does not scoff at God. He does not swear at God. He does not complain to God. But he receives it with joy, counting it a privilege to suffer on account of Christ. And in that respect, too, they were imitators of Paul and Silas and Timothy. We know that history well. One stop prior to Thessalonica, they were in Philippi. And we children remember that story. There they were in the prison in the middle of the night, their hands and their feet in stocks. And what were the apostles doing? Singing to God, praying to God. With joy, they received the word. But the point is this. No non-elect person, first and foremost, will ever become a follower of the apostles and a follower of the Lord. But what is more, no non-elect person will ever receive the word in affliction with joy. Those were the clear fruits of the election of those saints. And that's what we can do as well. We look at ourselves. And we see these things. We see a love for Jesus Christ, a love for God, a receiving the word in affliction with joy. And those are the clear signs of our election of God. Now it's true. It's true that, to use the language of the canons, our sense and certainty of our election will vary with time. At times we are on the mountaintops of faith. At other times we hardly have this sense of God's work in us. But if it's there at a time, only this much, that's the sign in and of itself. No non-elect person ever has a true sense of love for God and a true sense of faith in Jesus Christ and a sorrow for sin. The fact that it's there, to whatever degree, is the sure sign of our election. We can know that we are elect by that fruit. But we haven't yet dealt with that middle verse of the text. verse 5. The fruit of our election, the signs of our election, do not simply appear, but Paul understood that they are worked powerfully by the gospel. And that's the point of verse 5. The gospel produces the fruit and the signs of election. And so we read in verse 5 that the gospel came unto the saints not only in word, it did come in word, they heard the preaching of the gospel, they heard those words, but it came in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. It came in power. The word power there is the Greek word that we get the English word dynamite from. When you light a stick of dynamite, something happens. Inevitably, something will happen. When the gospel is preached, in all its truth and fullness, something happens. God works powerfully through the gospel, works powerfully to take us, who are sinners, and transform our lives so in the midst of this wicked world, we are followers of the Lord. And we love God and we love Jesus Christ. The Word, the gospel preached is a power. And it is that power because it is brought and it comes in the Holy Ghost. God Himself works powerfully through that Word. That's the reason it is a power. And it comes in assurance. In the original, it's very clear that those two go together, the Holy Ghost and assurance. The Holy Ghost works that assurance. Literally, it's a certainty, a full confidence. And the assurance is exactly what the heart of this text is talking about. The assurance that, yes, I am an elect child of God. Paul knew that the bringing of the gospel worked that fruit. And that's why he says at the end of verse 5, "You knew what manner of men we were among you. We gave ourselves completely through and through so that the gospel would be brought to you, so that it would work those infallible fruits of election, so that we and so that you would know that you were an elect child of God." And God works no differently today among us. Notice the connection between these three things. Knowledge of our election, the fruit of that election, following the Lord, and the means by which that fruit is wrought, the powerful preaching of the Word. Take one of those away, and the other weaken and diminish. Now let's be clear, we can never lose our election. We can't. Those whom God elects will receive the purpose of that election, salvation itself. But nevertheless, we can lose our sense and certainty of that election. And we do that when we do not hear and sit under the powerful preaching of the Word. That's the importance of the gospel, of continually hearing the gospel. Because the gospel works powerfully in our lives so that we are strengthened in being followers of the Lord, so that the signs and fruit of our election are clearly evident in our lives and we know with certainty our election of God. And so the application is that we must hear the gospel. We must avail ourselves to the preaching of the gospel, not keep ourselves from this means of faith and this means of grace. God works powerfully through the gospel. And so when the devil comes to us and tempts us with feelings of doubt and says, "Look at your sin. You can't be a child of God." We say to the devil, "Yes, you're right. Look at my sin. But that's not the sign of my election, not being a sinner. That's a contradiction. No such thing as a sinless Christian. Look at my sin, he says. I say, yes, I will look at my sin. And I will acknowledge how great my sin is. And I will look to Jesus. And that is the sign of our election. You look to Christ. And when you do that, you can know that God loved you in eternity and determined to save you even unto the end. And we want to know our election because we derive wonderful comfort from that. There's one section that we haven't touched on in the text. Those two words, of God. And as we noted earlier, what they should modify is the beloved. Brethren, beloved of God. That's the comfort of knowing our election. We know that God loves us. Election and the love of God go hand in hand. In eternity, God loved us to such an extent that He decreed to save us. And that, people of God, beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, is our comfort. To know day in and day out the love of God. The love upon us who are sinners. A love so great that He decreed to save us. A love so great that He determined to send His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, for our sins. That's our comfort as we go forth in this life. And so let us derive the comfort of that knowledge by living daily out of the experience of our election. Daily, we see in our lives the clear fruit, love for God, faith in Jesus Christ, a fruit worked powerfully through the preaching of that Word. Let us experience and know our election and receive the great comfort of that. Always knowing the love of God for us who were sinners in Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God that in His decree of saving us, part of that included, that we can know our salvation. That's our joy. That's our comfort. Amen. Father which art in heaven, it's a beautiful thing to know that Thou hast determined to save us in Christ. And we can experience that knowledge daily. And Heavenly Father, eliminate from our minds and our hearts doubt. It's a very real thing. But we know that Thou hast determined to save us. We have clear signs. Work powerfully through Thy Word so that those signs are evident in our lives and we can know our election and derive the comfort from that knowledge. Father, forgive what was said or what was heard in sin and dismiss us this evening with Thy blessing. Be with us in the remainder of the week and return us here to Thy house once again to worship Thy great and holy name next week, Sunday morning. Forgive our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen.